engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. People came to Jesus and objected, "Why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he does, its fullness pulls away, the new from the old, and the tear gets worse. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the skins are ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh wineskins." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We are reading in these weeks from the letter to the Hebrews, and one of the words that should come to mind when we think of the letter to the Hebrews is priesthood. And priesthood is a key theme of the Bible. Jesus Christ is the high priest. There were priests in the Old Testament. Obviously, we have priests in the Christian churches today. And the word that comes to our mind when we hear the word priest is sacrifice. Not sacrifice in the general sense of, you know, giving things up or the like, but offering a sacrifice to a deity, in this case, the one true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Offering a sacrifice, as Melchizedek, that ancient Old Testament figure that appears in the book of Genesis, offering bread and wine in the line of a priesthood that would last forever. A priest offers sacrifice to God according to the prescriptions that God himself lays out. And all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, whether the bread and wine offered by Melchizedek or the various animals sacrificed according to the laws and prescriptions that God laid down for the worship in the temple, or any other of the offerings from the produce of the harvest, all find their culmination in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He offered himself to the Father. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." He gave himself for us so that we could be reconciled to the Father, freed from sin, liberated from death, set on the path to life eternal, given of the Spirit. And therefore, he is the high priest. The offering he gives is himself. And interestingly, because you and I are incorporated into Christ, by faith, by baptism, we become members of his body, we end up sharing in his priesthood. I'm not talking about ordained priests like I am. I'm talking about all of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ. We share his priesthood. Why? Because we, as Scripture commands, are able to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Our prayers, our works of justice and charity, the offering of our own bodies as a living sacrifice. We are always, in everything we do, saying, "Lord, you are the God who deserves all our praise, all our thanksgiving, all our worship. Everything comes from you. Everything goes back to you. And therefore, everything I'm going to do today, I offer you." Many people start off their day with prayers of spiritual offering, sacrifice. "Lord, I give it to you." That's what it means. "I give this to you, O God." Acknowledging that you have given me everything to begin with, starting with life itself as the most fundamental gift. "So, Lord, I give everything back to you, acknowledging you as the source of all that is good and the one who deserves all praise and glory. This priesthood requires that we be connected both with this world and the world to come, the world of the supernatural where God is in and of himself. And Jesus was deeply connected with both. He is God. He always was. And it says here that he knows us. He knows us. He was with us. He became one of us. And he learned obedience from what he suffered. He was in the flesh. He made loud supplications with cries and tears as he prayed. He shared our journey. Now, that is a key dimension of priesthood, and it's a key dimension of leadership. You can't lead people from afar. You need to be among them and with them. Jesus became like us in all things but sin. The letter to the Hebrews makes this so clear. He became our brother. He who is our Lord and God became our brother. Like us in all things but sin, familiar with all our weaknesses and problems and suffering and even death. And this incarnation, this taking on flesh, which we celebrated at Christmas, is what enables him to be the bridge between us and the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's only possible, first of all, because he's God, but secondly, because he's human. Any leader must know what it's like to live among his people. Pope Francis expressed this by saying he's saying to us who are leaders in the church, us who are priests, ordained priests and pastors, he said, do you have the odor of the sheep on your clothing? In other words, are you so with the flock that you know what makes them smile, you know what makes them frown, you know what makes them happy, you know what makes them sad, you feel it with them, you know what they want before they ask for it, you are ready to defend them from dangers, and you know how to celebrate with them their joys and triumphs. Isn't that the kind of pastor you want? Isn't that the kind of leader you want? Where you don't have to explain to them where you're coming from? That they know? They know what you care about and what you're concerned about. And they recognize when you're doing a good job in serving the Lord. They recognize it because they're doing it too. Those are the kind of leaders that we need. Those are the only kind of leaders who are the right leaders. They are so in union with us. They are so close to us. They so appreciate us. Instead, and I've experienced it so many times with other pastors, with many bishops, I've experienced it so many times that you sit with them, you talk with them, and you get the very, very strong feeling that they are strangers, that they do not appreciate what we appreciate, that they don't understand what we're doing and thinking and wanting and hoping and fearing, that they're disconnected, and sadly, that they are uninterested. Plenty of leaders like that. Leaders who should be encouraging us and speaking our language, but no. They're just you get a very, very distressed and sad feeling being with many of them because they are truly disconnected. I don't know what they believe, some of them, but they're certainly not believing what we're believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They got no odor of the sheep on their clothing. In fact, they give you the impression sometimes that they can't stand that odor. And it's the same in our political world, and this is one of the things that I'm grateful for in our president, Donald Trump, that, we want political leaders who are one of us. And that may indeed be the best summation of this president's success. Unprecedented success, absolutely historic success. That he's one of us. Not some kind of outside establishment politician looking down at us. What did the Lord say? Those among you who exercise authority and among the pagans, they lord it over them. They great ones make their importance felt. It cannot be that way with you. He's a disciple of Jesus Christ. Deserving respect, first of all, because of that, and also because of his office that he exercises. But thirdly, even more importantly, because he's one of us fighting for us. Not some kind of distant, disconnected politician who, first of all, when he or she speaks, and we've got so many of these, you don't know what they said. And if you understand the words they said, you're not so sure they believe it. And if you do understand it and they do believe it, but then they don't follow through. Promises made, promises broken is the mantra of so many politicians because they're not one of us. They're answering not to us. They're answering to some kind of interest group or some kind of billionaire friend who gave them all kinds of money and helped them get elected. Or they're answering to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is a mega political institution. They want to pass themselves off as some kind of caring healthcare organization. They are no such thing. They are a political machine. They give tens of millions of dollars to candidates, and I'll let you guess which party it is that they support. And this baby-killing business, the largest child-killing industry in the world, they try to pull the strings of these Democrat politicians. They try to pull the strings. And they do so very effectively because they're beholden to them. They've received all kinds of money from them. And this is exactly the opposite of the kind of leadership we need. We need somebody who's going to be working for and answerable to us. President Trump has deliberately put himself in that situation. He already had wealth and success. He didn't need any fame. He got into this purposely to serve, to sacrifice for the American people. This is one of the things we should be giving thanks for. He purposely did not go to wealthy friends to ask them for millions of dollars for his campaign needs, because he didn't then want several months later for them to be coming to him asking for a favor in return. He didn't want to have to factor in to his day-to-day decision-making as president what would make them happy instead of what would be right for you, your freedom, your family, your children, your future. I am convinced that as the days and the weeks and the months and the years go by, we will become even more aware of how grateful we should be to have had a leader who was not an establishment politician, who did not have these puppet strings attached to him, controlled by people who do not have our interests at heart. This is the kind of freedom our leaders need, and this is also the kind of union with us. This is a man who, when he speaks, first of all, he's been the most transparent president that we've ever had, because he didn't hide behind layers and layers of bureaucracy. He doesn't believe in bureaucracy. He didn't hide behind layers and layers. You didn't know what he was thinking. You didn't know what he was feeling. Some people say, oh, well, you know, maybe he's a little too rough in what he says. I prefer somebody who says it, and then you know what they're thinking and you know where they stand. Let's stop being worried about the wrong things. We need leaders who are transparent. We know where they stand. We know what makes them happy. We know what gets them angry. We know they're on our side. And we know they're battling and fighting for us. And this is one of the ways he has transformed American politics, that we stop being doormats for the rest of the world and we stop being doormats to the left, the radical policies and the intimidation and the insults that people want to hurl at us and at our faith and at our church and at our values and at our freedom, our belief in the family, our belief in defending the unborn. The left pushes and they fight and they attack. And here's a man who has taught us, you don't just sit back and take that. You rise up and you strongly defend what you believe in, and you take the steps necessary to advance those beliefs in public policy, in the law, in freedom of speech. Thanks be to God for all this. Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who has been among us, became one of us, prayed and cried aloud with tears and with suffering, shared our death, and now you share with us the gift of eternal life. Lord, as we live our lives in this world, may you, Jesus Christ, be our number one loyalty. May you be our only Lord, our only Savior. But Lord Jesus, as we live through this life also, grant us blessing and guidance as we seek to govern ourselves and to choose and support the right kind of leaders. And, O God, to give you thanks when we have them. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.